Howdy ho, Diz nerds. This week, we have a special guest. It's that Diz girl. It's Alessa Dufresne from Inside the Magic. Having just returned from a very extensive trip to Disney World, we're going to get the nitty gritty and decide if the present COVID Disney experience is worth the bang for your holiday buck. All this and more on this week's episode of the We Like Theme Parks. Nothing from Mark? Okay. Podcast. Oh, come on.
We proudly present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic. Do We Like Theme Parks Podcast?
Yo. Bring it back now.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
We like theme parks.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other nerdy fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Momoa Bond, still got the locks going, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Disney founder, theme park fashionista, and Ravenclaw sympathizer from the Churro Fund, it's Miriam Kenley. Miriam, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Just Ravenclawing it up. Right?
That's not anything.
Trying to get something. Yeah. Trying to get like a rallying cry for my crew, my Ravenclaw. No.
Yeah, I like your Raven noises. Sure. Yeah,
okay, I'll take it. And of course, the guy laughing at me, that's we're also joined by comedian, Diz nerd, and foreign treat connoisseur. It's Mark Andrada. Hey, Mark.
I do love treats.
Yeah.
I do love treats.
You're a treat man, but you just got an elliptical. So it balances, you know, it's a yin and the yang.
Yeah, I'm just going to eat a bag of chips while I'm on that thing. I paid money for this thing. I needed a place to hang my clothes that were not clean, but not dirty either.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's the true reason that I bought this.
Like that sweater. It's like, I can wear that again.
Yeah. I only wore it twice inside the house. So
yeah, it's all
I'm not going to hang it back up, but I'm not going to throw it in laundry either. You know?
Well, guys, we have a big episode today. We have an amazing guest. So let's get right into it. But we got to pace some bills first, so it's T Public time.
T Public presents
Instant Shoutouts.
All right, it's T Public, where you can find all kinds of Diz nerdy and Universal t-shirts. Just pop onto our website, welikethemeparks.com, and then click on t-shirts, and it'll take you to our page over at T Public. You got cool stuff that we've designed, and you can check out all the other cool stuff on T Public. Rock some cool gear, just like me. I got my Condor Man shirt on. Can you guys see it? No, you can't.
No, this is a podcast. The audience can't.
Well, they can't, but you can. All right. Well, whatever. I'm going to zip it up. None for you. So check it out. So who am I going to say hi to today on TeePublic? Well, it's our friend at just.magical. It's our friend Lucy. She's new. We like new friends. She's a Disney lover. She's full of tips and tricks for all your travel needs. And she's a huge Nightmare Before Christmas fan. Guess what? Me too. So thank you so much for listening, Lucy, and welcome to the squad, yo. Miriam, who you got?
My Insta shout out is Rolling Through Disney, and this is Jasmine. She is a Disney blogger living in Ohio, and she's just sharing all of the things that she loves most about the parks on her Insta.
Nice.
So that is Rolling Through Disney.
Oh, I love Ohio. A lot of roller coasters in Ohio. Okay, no, I'm all right.
What is that a reference to something? What
well,
is that
like all the cool roller coaster parks are in Ohio, Cedar Fair, all the Cedar Points, oh, okay. King's Dominion.
Yeah. I thought maybe like the inflection that you gave it was like from something.
I just think it's not a word I say often, and I just want to revel in it when I say it. I think it's a fun way to say.
Yeah. How often do you get to say Ohio? So yeah, when you do say it, you really want to enjoy it.
Yeah, or Omaha. That's a fun Omaha. That's a good one.
Is that how you say Omaha every time? Omaha every time.
That might be the second time I've said it in the last 5 years. I felt like I was going to go for it.
You know what? Last 5 years, great musical.
Great show. Mark, who you got?
I have Disney Plus. I don't know if you've heard of this Instagram account, Disney Plus. It's the official Instagram account for the Disney Plus streaming service. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No, tell more.
Disney Plus. Listen, some big news has dropped, and I'm just going to jump right into the fact that all 5 seasons of The Muppet Show are going to be on Disney Plus, and I'm losing my mind about it. I'm just going to lose my mind about it until it happens on February 19th. And then after February 19th, I'm going to lose my mind some more. All 5 seasons? Do you realize they didn't even put out season 4 and 5 on DVD?
Right. I read that today. Yeah. Actually.
Come on.
This is exciting.
It's very exciting. You put Muppets Tonight on there and that's it. I'm going to bed. too much excitement for me. I got to go to bed.
Is there an episode or a guest that you really wanted
Steve
to see?
Martin.
The Steve Martin episode?
Are you asking me which one my favorite one is?
Yeah.
You answered even before you finished the question.
Yeah, you did. That's a fan right there.
Steve Martin.
I haven't seen it, but I want to see this Mark Hamill episode. I'm sure it was like a Star Wars inspired Muppets ep.
Yeah, it's a good one too.
Yeah, we talked about it last episode and we're pumped. I'm glad that you're still pumped. And what was the date again? February the
19th.
Oh, that's a beautiful day. Let's do it. All right. Well, hey, shall we get into the show? Because we got Alessa waiting and I want to get into this. So
I know. Alessa's so patient. She's patiently waiting while I'm while I'm loudly losing my mind about the Muppets. So sorry. Sorry, Alessa.
There's always time for Muppets, buddy. Well, let's get right into this thing. It's segment time, amigos.
Segment time.
Okay, friends, I don't know about you guys, but I have friends that come to me and they go, Bondo, I'm thinking about going to Disney. But you know, pandemic. Should I go? Is it worth it? And you know what? I haven't been there in a bit, in a spell, because, there's a lot of reasons why I'm not there. But, you know, I've made that choice not to go right now. I'm going to wait it out. But some people are going and they're enjoying themselves and having a great time. So we wanted to talk to somebody that we know who could bring us in the tent, if you will, and give us the nitty gritty on the actual experience. This is the COVID Disney experience. Is it the same? I'm sure it isn't, but is it still worth it to go? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to the podcast one of our good buddies, super friend. It's that Diz girl, Alessa Dufresne, from Inside the Magic. Alessa, what's happening, girl?
What up?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How was The Bachelor tonight? Was it a good ep?
Yeah, The Bachelor was amazing. If anyone doesn't watch The Bachelor, get on it. If you're from America, I don't know where you stream it, but if you're from Canada, City TV. very good. We love the drama. I want to be a producer on The Bachelor. It's actually like a goal. Like I'd love to be like 3 months of my life I produce for The Bachelor and the rest of the time I live in Disney World. Like that would be...
That's the life.
That would be... Yeah. Yeah. That would be amazing for me. Like
that sounds like a great setup. Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with my life.
Is there a Disney inspired one? So we have our friends at Castle Connections and they're a group of people that try to bring Disney nerds together romantically. What if there was...
I've heard of this.
Yeah. They're great. They're friends of ours. What if there was like a Disney nerd bachelor? You know what I mean?
And it
was...
Honestly, if anyone wants it to start, I will gladly produce the thing. I just want to go in, I feel bad for saying this, and wreak havoc. Like
they could live in the castle.
Sounds like a great Disney Plus show, honestly.
Literally, right? Hey, Disney. you heard it here first.
Think of all the Bachelor Nation nerds that would be like getting to see all this Disney stuff that they've never seen. Like, okay, today we're at the, you know, the Riviera Hotel doing this. And the next day they're at Typhoon Lagoon. Oh, there's a Typhoon Lagoon challenge.
And you make all the girls dress up in like the princess dresses for like the rose thing. And the rose comes out of like a Beauty and the Beast, like one of those glass case thing. I'm rolling with the ideas here.
Guys, we got something here.
But maybe it changes, like maybe the next week it's a Dingle Hopper, you know?
Oh,
like
yes. We're not just sticking to one. We haven't thought about this
one
at
Disney
all.
Item.
Yeah. So, okay, let's keep rolling with this premise. Is it called Prince Charming and you have all these different princesses you can pick from? Right?
Okay, yeah, Prince Charming. And then what would, I guess, was the other, like when it's the reverse, do you just call?
Well, I was just thinking of a generic prince would be Prince Charming. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like he could be any prince, whereas all these girls would be.
What if it's, you have to kiss a lot of frogs?
could go that way too. Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of ways to play it, but yeah, I don't know. Like at the backdrop of the castle, like that final proposal.
And then Disney Fairy Tale Weddings airs the wedding from the thing and bing, bang, boom.
Like,
We're interweeving here.
Guys, some producer is scribbling this down right now in a lesson. We're getting pooched. We're totally getting pooched. We're not even going to get
This is just me on a glass of wine. Imagine what four can do.
we're going to get it with some like co-executive producer credit, and that's about it. Well, Alessa, we're so thrilled that you're here. I know that you just spent a month, not a week, not a weekend, not 2 weeks, a month at Disney World. Yeah.
I know. I'm a nutso.
Tell me, tell us why you were there for a month. A month. What are you doing?
Like with work, it makes sense for me to be down there because there's a lot more opportunity that arises. Of course, like writing about like the theme parks in Orlando. Obviously, we cover all Disney theme parks, but being in Orlando makes it like very helpful, especially because like Universal's there as well. Shall not be named.
You can name it on this podcast.
It's okay, because I love Universal. And that's there too. So Universal and Disney. Also, like, I'm in a relationship with someone who lives in Orlando. So, like, that makes sense to me.
His name is Charming. Hubba Hubba.
he's all right. But I mean, yeah, so it's like it's only so much time you could stay away from somebody. It made sense like with work and with although it was kind of like it was a vacation, I still was like working my normal work schedule and all of that stuff and doing like other work commitments when I was there. So sure. I wasn't like staying at a Disney resort for a month and then going to the parks every day,
right.
Which like I would have loved to do. But that's not reality for me. But still, I was able to like be there. And it was interesting because I almost got like a little bit of a local perspective, which I hadn't had before because like usually I'm always like at a resort or something and
for
I'm
sure.
not, like not at a resort and this time I like wasn't. I was at a resort for parts of the time, but like not the entire time. So yeah, it was different.
We usually don't leave the reservation, you know what I mean? We're just we're in Disneyland. Pardon me, we're in Disney Town here. We're not leaving. It's different when you kind of are out and about around and about the world. While you were there for a month, how many times would you say you hit up parks while you were there?
I went to the parks and I feel like this number is maybe low, but I went to the parks maybe 10 times.
No, it sounds about right.
About 10 times, I think. But there it was interesting because there was times like, because I have an annual pass, I don't feel as bad to like go in and then leave pretty quick. So like we would go into like Animal Kingdom, literally grab a beer, ride Flight of Passage and then leave. And like, that was a park day, even though I was just there for like maybe an hour and a half or something.
How cool does that feel? That must feel cool. I've never done that. I've paid a gazillion dollars.
It does feel awesome.
I'm like, I'm juicing every minute of this theme park. You're like, I don't know. You want to get a drink there, maybe?
That's the beauty of the annual pass. You just sort of cruise in, do what you like, leave. You don't feel pressured to sort of milk every precious minute out of the day.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to do, leaving the day we would leave Disneyland, we'd go in, get popcorn for the drive home.
Oh, I love that.
Go in there, get a snack for your drive.
Look how fancy greatest. You guys, all these AP holders on this call, except me.
I'm Chris, not me anymore.
I know.
Sorry. I know.
It's okay.
It'll come back.
It'll
come back. Something. There I will
said,
be something.
I said RIP and I just realized I should have said RIAP. Really stopped the conversation to say that.
You know what? The last time I went on the trip, though, I really looked long and hard at getting the AP just because value-wise, it wasn't too far. But if I remember, like a month earlier, they jacked up the price like $200 or $300. Like it was a crazy jump.
That happened to me. I was going to buy it. And the next day, I literally decided that like the night before they did the price hike.
Yeah.
Then the next day I was going to call Disney to do it. And then like it was jumped. I still obviously did it because I have it now. But like I was so angry when I got it. I did not know I was going to be there as much as I am now. Like I didn't know like my job and everything was going to turn into like Disney. So it's worth it now, but at the moment, and then when like I like activated my pass a week or something before the parks closed, or like 2 weeks before the parks closed. So I was just like, oh no, Alessa, what did you do? but like everything kind of like changed in my life that it made it, right. I guess.
Yeah. You started working for Disney kind of, not for Disney, but
not for Disney,
Disney stuff.
But with a you Disney got, type company.
You got a handsome beau down there stateside in the swamp. I mean, their life changed, right?
Yeah.
So for someone like me, though, like it wasn't a regular price hike. It was like a substantial price hike.
Was it?
Yeah, man. Because usually it was like, I don't know, another $50 or another $60. And it was like a $300 jump or like two. It was a heavy jump. And they were doing it, I feel like, to deter people from buying it. They're like, don't buy it. Buy separate tickets. Spend mo money. That was my view at the time. Anyway, whatever. So you guys are cool. I'm not. Got it. Message received.
Jeez. You're really hard on yourself there.
So, Alessa, you were there 10 times. I'm sure you did a lot of Disney Springs. You probably did some other stuff. You're just hanging around. Let's talk about the new Disney, which is just the now Disney. It's not the forever Disney. It's just the Disney that we're going to have to be a part of presently. And that is this COVID pandemic style of a theme park experience. So from the start, what were the first things you noticed? Was it even travel, the plane ride? Was it just less magical arriving at the parks, arriving with the protocols that are now kind of employed? How did it feel kind of showing up? Because most arrivals into Disney are quite magical. There's this built up all this anticipation. You're excited to go, you get there, and it's just amazing. But now it's a little different. Give us on the down low on just the arrival, maybe getting into the parks, checking into hotels, the hotel experience, getting into the parks, getting out of the parks, moving around the parks, maybe on the monorail and such. Give me the feel for what you kind of had to go through, and did it kind of damper that experience off the hop?
Yeah, for sure. So like even just like quickly, like even on the plane ride, like I was nervous because like obviously like it's a scary time to be traveling and like to make that decision that you're going to be like doing it for whatever reason. And if you like decide to do it, like it's still like scary if you decide to do it. So it's like, and going on the plane, I was like looking at who was going with me, and it was actually like quite a full flight, which I was surprised about because I'm like, is anyone else here for like business reasons? Or there was a lot of like, I feel like snowbirds that were on the flight, but there still were some like, I saw like magic bands on people's wrists and stuff. So I'm like, there are people definitely just going for like a Disney vacation, which I did not expect to see. The difference between like, I'm from Toronto, so like the Toronto airport versus like MCO and the Orlando airport was completely different. Really? It was so much busier at MCO, like as if it were operating as per usual. Wow. Whereas like in Toronto, they couldn't even get like a drink or anything. Like everything's closed down, and it's a ghost town, obviously, because barely anybody is flying.
Right.
But yeah, so there it was like kind of seemed a little bit more normal. I didn't take the Magical Express, but I did walk by it, and everybody looked like it looked like that was running as usual. I do know that like there's social distancing on the Magical Express, as well as like obviously like the lines to get in there. But like I had asked Disney earlier about if they were social distancing on the Magical Express. So I know they're doing that.
Sure.
And I'm assuming it's like still as like great as usual and for the amount of time that we will have it for left.
When you were staying at the hotels, let's talk about the hotels for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Just checking in and just hanging around the hotel. Like, was it, again, was there a lot of limitations or things you couldn't do or things that weren't available?
Well, so checking in, like did that all like through the My Disney Experience app, like never went to the front desk, which I've never done that before. I'm not sure if that was available for people to do before. It's like use your phone as your room key.
Yeah.
Totally. I usually always used a magic band. I just wasn't doing that for this trip because like I just didn't get a magic band or anything. Sure. I was just using my phone. Mm-hmm. It's like different because I loved the feature where you could like choose if you want to do like room service or not. And then if you didn't do room service, you'd get like money. I think it was like $10 a night or something. And I was like, yeah, it's awesome because it's like that's like a couple drinks or like a snack or something at the park that like you don't have to like think about. But like that's not running right now because there's no room service running unless like you request it. But like everything in the rooms are like the remote controls and stuff are wrapped with like a seal that says like this is just being cleaned. If it's not like wrapped or protected, you can, I guess, inquire about that. Everything I was at Art of Animation. Everything was like wrapped and looked very clean and everything like that.
Art of Animation, fancy. Whoa.
I know. I'd never stayed there before. I was like pretty excited. I was only in the Little Mermaid room, so it's not like I was in the suites. It was pretty cool because I hadn't stayed at that resort before.
Okay, so getting to the parks now, and I'm talking, I'm not talking about the rides or walking around, just getting in, transport there, just the safety protocols of entering into the theme parks. Give me a sense of what that was like, and really, how did you feel about it?
I took the Skyliner a bunch because, like, it was there. Taking that, like, you get, obviously, you get your own gondola system. The lines are socially distanced. It's just kind of weird. Like, at one point, there was this, like, group of old ladies that were just hiking up our butts, like getting so close. And I'm like, get away from me. I'm trying to protect all of you at the same time. But the distancing was usually pretty decent. Especially if a cast member was there to say something about it.
Great.
Unfortunately, like when you're at like a resort and it could like loop down into the resort line for the Skyliner,
There's
not someone who could like monitor that all the time. So you're just kind of hoping that people know how to self-govern.
Yeah. And most people were, I would assume. People were pretty good about it, right?
Yeah, people were pretty good about it. I'm like riding on the Skyliner. I felt fine because there was nobody else on it with me. So I was like, this is okay.
Great.
Going into the park, I've never like had someone do like the scanning temperature thing to my head before and stuff. So like that was new, but that was like everything like happened pretty fast. I also wasn't going though at like park open or anything like that. So I think like if people are going and you like go to the park at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something, like you're not going to hit bigger lines. I'm assuming at park open that they might be larger.
Sure.
But
yeah, I would wager it's going to take more time to get everybody in because you're taking temperatures. Are they asking you questions of like, I remember when things kind of first dropped, it was like, have you traveled recently? Have you been to another country? Have you, which I guess everyone has, right? Yeah. I just got off a plane. Just got here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm from, you know, another country. I'm here to enjoy your fare. Was there any of that or was it just scan of the forehead and come on in?
Yeah, no, it was just scan of the forehead and come on in. Whether or not there were people that could have had been infected, I don't know. So because like, obviously the only way that you'd get like pushed away is if, I mean, I'm sure if people were noticeably showing symptoms that someone noticed, like that would cause a red flag. But sure. If you get scanned and you don't have a fever or anything, they let you in. Being in the parks itself, just entering, still feel like you get the music and everything. So that part still feels normal.
Great.
The only time that I ever felt like I was in like crowding area that I was like, I gotta go was only like when you're at Magic Kingdom at nighttime with the projections that were happening on the castle for Christmas and like the holidays and stuff. So like that got kind of like crowdy at times and I'm like, gonna run away now.
Smart. Like you would think in those kind of moments when there are people are watching, and this is why they axed the parades, you know, that people would self-govern and be like, you know, maybe I take a few steps this way. You know, maybe I don't have to be this close. Did you see a lot of that? Were people being mindful? Or
people were usually being mindful. Sometimes like when you're going into like bottleneck areas of parks, like it could get like a little bit difficult to distance. The good thing though is that like in terms of like mask wearing, I've never been in a place that like enforced it so strongly. Like, and I've never like, there's not been like a grocery store or anything that I've seen like, that's not saying anything negative about other places, but like if you literally just have it slightly like below your nose, a cast member is coming up to you and saying like, you need to fix that or you need to leave. Like, and and they're very like strong on it. And like, I was talking with a cast member and she literally was just like, sorry, one second. And approached and like left and approach like our conversation to approach a guest who had it, like their mask fell a little bit low and was like, you need to pull that up. And I was like, wow, that's like, it was good to see that. And that's like, that's why I felt like better about like, if I'm able to distance myself, because like, although there were crowds, it wasn't as crowded as you're used to, like when you're like shoulder to shoulder walking through like the Fantasyland little passageway area. That part was pretty good. It's different with that stuff. And like the social distancing in the lines looks like kind of daunting, but it's also, I think, done super well. Like in Flight of Passage, do you know how like a queue will like wrap around itself and it'll like like a snake sort of thing?
Sure.
Yeah.
So they have like markers on the ground. And so that people, if they don't have plexiglass between each like snake, I don't know if I'm describing that right, but each like line.
Like the switchbacks or whatever?
Yeah, between each switchbacks, if they don't have plexiglass dividing everybody, They'll have like a dot on the ground, and then the next dot won't be until like the following switchback. So you skip a line go there, and then like the 6 feet in between sometimes looked like it was like almost 9 feet in between.
Wow. Okay.
And when I was in the lines, people generally stuck to their like circles and like would only move to their thing and weren't like pushing up against you too much.
Okay.
So after like experiencing that, like you see on like social media, there's like lines of like the Haunted Mansion going all the way down to like Splash Mountain. Right. And it's, I think it's like genuinely because these, like they are so, so, so distanced in there, right. Right. Especially for any queue that goes indoor.
What are the wait times like? So if the line is that long, is the wait time just the same, or is it a longer wait time, or is it a shorter wait time?
I'm just going to use Flight of Passage as a reference, yeah, because we know that's like usually a long wait time. So I started my line at like the Flight of Passage entrance, like where it shows the wait time. Mm-hmm. It was posted for 45 minutes from that starting point, which like, I feel like that would usually, I've waited from like closer in and it took me about 2 hours before. That wait was maybe like 35, 40 minutes. So it does move. What everything was moving faster than expected. Sometimes it was like the exact wait time. Like one time I went on Pirates of the Caribbean, I was like, 30 minutes, probably like 20. No, it was like 30.
It's weird when they're right. It's like, oh, an hour and a half, probably an hour.
This is helping my theory out that if they just got rid of fast passes all the time, all the lines would move faster, and that fast pass is actually a detriment to the lines. That has always been I've maintained that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, because now they're like splitting up all those lines and like boarding more people. Which, yeah. I mean, imagine what would happen if, like right now, a lot of the attractions aren't fully loading. Some are now, but when I was there, it hadn't kind of started that yet. Once everything goes back to normal, if they're able to like fully load everything and they're getting rid of FastPass, I don't know where I stand on that FastPass debate, but I do see your point with it.
I'm a big believer in get rid of the FastPass. I'm on an island though. I think most people are like, you're an idiot. But I'm like, no, get rid of those FastPasses. Let me just cruise around the park and do what I like and get on rides and wait in lines. And those lines are going to be super short without FastPasses. That mm-hmm. is my theory. And I'm sticking to it.
I remember those
sticking
days.
Sticking to it.
I remember those days. They were nice. So just to kind of wrap up, because I don't want it to be about just safety, because that's not the entire experience. But it sounds from the care that the people at Disney took, just all the protocols and
safe
stations and stations where you could take off your mask. It's unique areas for that. All the marking on the floor, the diligence of all the staff. Overall, you felt safe. Is that safe to assume?
Yeah, I definitely did. And like I said, it was the most enforced. And I've been to a few other Florida theme parks. Disney has it enforced the most right now. So that I think like I felt safest for sure out of any theme parks there, and being outside. And once I was like distanced from people, I felt like the way I'd kind of feel if I was going for a walk and like on a busy street in Toronto or like a semi-crowded street in Toronto.
That's great.
Well, now I want the dirt on what Universal was like. Were they less safe? Is that what was going on?
I actually, I didn't go to Universal on this one. I will be going to Universal in a little bit, so I can let you know after that.
Yes. Okay. You'll have to come back. Yeah. Give us this coupon, Universal.
Come back and they were actually better. I'm surprised.
I mean, from what I've seen through like work and stuff on Universal, it seems like they're also taking like similar precautions to Disney. I don't know if it's like on the exact same level, obviously, because I wasn't there. But from what I've spoken to, it seems similar. I feel like they kind of have to be similar because like you can't be like total polar opposite.
Right.
You also don't want to be the company that gets the press of a breakout, right? Like,
yeah.
Something goes wrong and something terrible happens, and then you get exposed for, you know, not enforcing the masks or, you know, not cleaning or something. And then now you've got all this press about, there was a breakout at this theme park at Legoland of all places. Imagine.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I think they're doing like they're putting such an emphasis to be like, we've done all we can.
Yeah.
In the given circumstances sort of situation.
Also, really excited to hear that Flight of Passage is a 45-minute standby.
I saw someone posted it was 15 or 20 minutes.
Come on.
It seems like right now the lines, because like I was there right before the holidays, so it was like kind of picking up. But today it's like, I feel like people, because right now I feel like January, February is usually like slower time for Disney.
Yep.
Because I don't know why, but that just seems to be like the way it's always been. And now it's like throw a pandemic on top of that. Mm-hmm. And it's like you kind of only have like Americans traveling there, and then like locals and like that's it. Like you don't really have that many like international people, which like I feel like that's like usually a big chunk of their like tourism market is like a lot of like overseas and stuff like that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned what the parks are like kind of now in January, February, because that's typically the time where a lot of rides are down for refurbishments.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's so many attractions that have had to be basically turned off, whether it's shows or something, there's just fewer stuff. So I don't feel like there's very many ride refurbishments this year. Like everything's up because they need everything to be up.
Yeah. I feel like because I always like check the refurbishment schedules and stuff and there's not that many. Yeah. Like Cali River Rapids is down for refurbishment. Like
I feel like that's maybe always we'll open. Down for refurbishment when I'm there.
Yeah.
It's been like a 10 years since I've been on Cali River. So as far as the protocol impacting the rides, and I'm not talking about the wait or anything like that, but actually being on the ride, did you find it detrimental at all? Like I know now some of these boats have plexi on them, or maybe there were some other situations where the ride was actually tweaked for safety. Maybe you could give us some examples of that and let us know if it kind of diminished the experience in some capacity.
Yeah, for sure. I actually had like a really interesting experience happen to me when I was there. So I was on Carousel of Progress. And freaking love Carousel of Progress, you know.
Yes.
So I'm on Carousel of Progress. And of course, like you have to wear your mask when you're in the theater and that's all distanced and everything. So I'm there. And then like, it's like the beginning of the first act and like halfway through the ride cuts and like the lights get a little bit lighter. And a cast member comes over the PA system and says to the guests who just took their mask off, you need to put it back on or we can't continue the ride or something along those lines.
Wow. But yeah,
someone was watching, I guess, through their like watching the audience through like their camera system and like is able to see, even though it's dark in the audience, like when guests are like taking their masks off. And they've done that. I haven't experienced this, but they stopped Seven Dwarfs Mine Train for the same thing. They stopped Seven Dwarfs Mine Train mid-ride to tell someone that they need to put their mask back on. I didn't experience that on a coaster, but I did experience it on Carousel of Progress. So that was like the one time that I was kind of like really reminded that it's like, you kind of, when you're on the ride, you semi like forget what's going on because you're just experiencing the ride sort of thing. If anything, I don't think I rode anything that had the plexiglass in the middle. Most of everything that I was riding, or they may not have just installed the plexiglass on some of the attractions I was on yet. You just kind of got the ride vehicle to yourself a lot of the time.
Great.
So if anything, like I was like when I went on Space Mountain, like I went like to Magic Kingdom solo for one day because I was doing some work stuff and like I had the whole thing to myself. So like that's something that typically wouldn't get that. Like aside from like the ride experiences itself felt like similar in that sense, just because like the rides didn't change pandemic. So
yeah, there's been some people who have been like, they were on, let's say, Frozen Ever After. And they're like, it's kind of hard to see through this plexi. Like I'm missing some of the attraction. A little bit of that, not a ton of it, but yeah, they've been trying to add plexi now so they don't give somebody the entire row, you know, so it's not like one family per ride vehicle because, you know.
And now they don't have to space because they were like spacing out every row, but now they're loading every row.
Atmospherically, do you think there was any kind of anything lost just atmospherically? Like you're walking down Main Street. Was there anything that wasn't there that kind of took away from the experience, or did it just feel like par for the course, just another beautiful day here on Main Street, USA?
Other than the lower two-thirds of everybody's face.
Right.
Was anything else missing?
I kind of liked with the mask sometimes because I'm like, I just have to look good in the eyeballs at this point. Like if the rest of my face looks bad, that's okay. Like you take a picture and it's like my smile can look good every single time because you just see some crinkles in my eyes and that's all we got to deal with. But in terms of walking down Main Street or any of the parks, that part felt like when you're just entering, like that was kind of normal. I think something that like I kind of hope that they keep this around is the amount of cavalcades that run. It is insane how often they're running. It felt like they were running a cavalcade maybe every 20, 30 minutes or something.
Oh, cool.
When I was there, it was like the Christmas stuff. And there was a lot of like the Mickey and Minnie's Very Merry Christmas music and like their floats passing by and the music being piped in. So obviously like not a parade and just a few characters and stuff. But like because there's such less people watching and people there, the interaction you can get with them walking by is like way higher now. They'll like come up to like individually come up to people, not like close to you, but they'll kind of like interact and wave to you. People, the characters on top of the train station, like one guy was like, one guy, Tigger. That dude.
Some guy, Tigger.
Just some guy, some orange dude. He was like playing like imaginary catch with this little kid. And like, I just feel like that stuff you probably wouldn't like get typically, just because usually there's so many waits for all of these, like to have these meet and greets, although like you'll get better pictures and better like interactions, obviously, when you could like touch the characters again. But like the cavalcades and having those run through pretty often made me like not miss the missing the parade as much, just because you were still getting like music coming in with like some parade floats and seeing some characters. If I had never seen Disney in my life, like I would maybe want obviously the parade, like the like Festival of Fantasy to come through. I was not expecting to see so many cavalcades running and like just to see so many characters and to have it like running constantly. It came to the point that I was just kind of like, man, I've seen this cavalcade like four times today. I'm like kind of done with it. Like, can we stop running this? Because now I can't cross
Listen,
over.
Tigger, stop throwing me the imaginary ball. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine. This is the fourth time we played this. Enough.
Yeah. I'm all magicked out.
Magicked out right now. So, okay. So things are sounding pretty good here. Things are in a good way.
They're okay with that stuff.
Yeah. So when you go, I don't know about you guys. I'm going to talk, you know, this is what Chris Bond does. There's certain things that I feel like I always need to do when I go to the park. For instance, every time I go to Disneyland, I have to go to the Red Wagon. This is the thing. I gotta go, right? I gotta spend some time in the line at Indiana Jones when I'm in Disneyland. When I'm in Disney World, I gotta have a turkey leg at Epcot. There's just some like Bondo things that I need to do. Alessa, were there some Alessa things that you didn't get to do because it was shut down or it's just not there now because of the pandemic? Was there any kind of magic lost or iconic or unique experiences that you typically do that you didn't get to do on this trip?
Well, like I'm someone who I love the performances and I love the shows that Disney has. I think it's what makes Disney magical and like it's what gives it that extra notch above other theme parks. Mm-hmm. They have so many like amazing shows. I like love musical theater. So like, if you want to throw someone singing in front of my face, like I'm there for it. I know people bag on it all the time, but I love the Beauty and the Beast show at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Like people always, they're like, it needs to be updated. It needs to change. I'm like, you know what? I know only Belle and Gaston are the only ones singing, but I'm kind of okay with it.
I'm always like, how hot are those guys, those characters? And it's so hot today.
Oh, you mean hot like temperature? I thought you were saying that these guys.
I thought you were into that. I was gonna say they do have good leg muscles. They do lots of dancing. I could totally see where you're coming from.
Cogsworth, I think the winning show at Hollywood Studios is The Little Mermaid, because you like get misted while you're in there. So like, cool.
Oh yeah, totally refreshing. That's true. But Beauty and the Beast, you're just watching a bunch of like characters up there trying to do as much dancing as they can. And I honestly feel bad. I'm like, oh my goodness, how sweaty are you guys? Oh, brutal. I know that's all sweaty. I'm thinking about. But watching them dance to tracked music, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Chris is very busy thinking about how hot and sweaty these guys are.
You nailed it. Truth. So there was some things that were missing.
Yeah. Happily Ever After to me is the best thing that is at Disney World. Mm. I'm obsessed with it. I love like, it's like classic to me. It's my favorite fireworks show that I've had like seen Disney do. Mm-hmm. And like, I love the music of it and everything. It like makes me cry every single time. So not having that there is like, that does like lessen it. And like the park hours are all like, not so much during the holidays, but like they're kind of becoming reduced again now. So like not having like being able to like go to like Animal Kingdom later at night and stuff like that sort of stuff is different, because like Pandora in the evening is like super cool. But when the parks close at 6, you barely get any like dark time.
Good point.
So like that stuff is different. And yeah, like I think like I miss the shows and I miss like having longer hours and that sort of stuff. So the magic's not as strong as it once was, even though it is still there, but like it's not the exact same.
So let's hold on to that idea here. On a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. on the magic scale, how magical was it compared to a typical Disney trip for yourself?
If we're talking like I have a typical Disney trip, I'm having a great day, it's a solid 10. Like a good day would be like a 10 for me at Disney. It's like I get good food, I get good drinks, I'm with good people, I ride a couple of my favorite rides, I'm happy. Me having that same experience now would probably be like a 7.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. That's like a B minus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like in the, it moved from like an A to a B. Okay. Still great and fun, especially for people who have done it before. Mm-hmm. If you've never done it before though, like I would feel sad for someone to experience Disney mm-hmm. this way for the first time in their entire life mm-hmm. and not know how much more it actually has to offer. Because I'm sure people would experience it and be like, this is amazing, because it's still like fantastic and unlike other things you've ever seen, but it's not as great as it could be. And to like pay a full ticket price for that, like obviously I have an annual pass, but like I would not have paid for 10 days
to go to the parks. Oh, I see. Yeah. Here we go. Okay. Yeah. We're putting our honesty hats on. I like it.
I am glad that like Carousel of Progress is running. That means that Tiki Room is probably open.
So even though the shows
that we love with live casts are closed down, at least those animatronic shows are happening. My question is, was John wearing a mask?
John was not wearing a mask, but they should have made him wear a mask at some point. That would have been so funny. Oh my God.
We get to the last scene and they're all wearing masks.
Absolutely. Because Grandma and Grandpa came in, you got to be safe. Yeah. Like.
And awesome. I have a performance question. Were the Dapper Dans performing when you were there?
The Dapper Dans were. They were either performing on top of the train station or mm-hmm. they were coming down like Main Street on the trolley and cute. Performing there. But I think they're literally like the only ones left that mm-hmm. weren't like let go. I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure, like, which is insane. And even some of them were let go. So not even all the Dapper Dans mm-hmm. like survived the layoffs and stuff. So it's nutso.
Wild. So wild. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they're just the Dapper Dan.
There's just one harmonizing for
Miriam.
Four.
Look at Miriam's face. Your joke. It's so bitter.
The ultimate dad. Such a dad joke.
Miriam is having none of it. None of it. Don't joke about that, Chris. It's the Dapper Dan. Okay. All right, moving on. I can't wait to edit this one. So you gave us a good number, 7. Most of the stuff that you wanted to see was on, attraction-wise. We're missing some live, obviously, performers. We're missing some fireworks. You felt very safe. You felt like Disney really overextended themselves to make you feel comfortable. Things felt clean. Like, I'm not worried about touching this thing because it's being cleaned every time. This all sounds pretty good. It sounds pretty good. Let me ask, just to round out the experience, Disney Springs. Did you do a little mm-hmm. Disney Springs?
I did. I only went twice. Uh-huh. Disney Springs did not feel the same as the parks in terms of like crowding.
Interesting.
Especially like I think one time I went later on a Friday night. Big mistake. Like it was just so busy and like there were so many people there. And I think they are still capping capacity there, I guess, based on like their parking garage.
Yeah.
But guests can still come through on the buses and stuff. And like if you Uber there, that's not really counted. And I never had to wait in a line to get in. You still have to do like the temperature scanning and that stuff when you go to Disney Springs. But like just the lines to get into stores. Oh my gosh. My mom made me go into like the friggin' World of Disney to do Christmas shopping for her at one point. And I was like, I held it off to the last possible second. But when I had to do it, it was like a 30 minute line just to enter. And then when you had to pay, it was about another 30 minute line.
Jeez. Wow.
Just to pay. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is insane.
Yeah. How badly do you need that pin, right?
Well, I was on the hunt for fanny packs, Chris.
Oh, okay. Pardon me.
Mickey Mouse themed fanny packs. That was the gift of the season.
So wait, you went with your mom? Your mom was down?
No. She instructed me that upon my return, I was Christmas shopping for her because as like obviously in Toronto we went back into a lockdown so mm-hmm. it was like I came back before Christmas and like I did my quarantine of course before I went back to my family and tested a bunch of times and then I brought all the gifts for my little cousins and stuff with me.
Sweet.
So
love
I was personal
it.
Shopping
All right. Well, yeah. So that's interesting because I've heard that about Disney Springs, that it's like, and it's packed, but it doesn't feel as like spaced and all that stuff. And
you don't have cast members like walking around Disney Springs the same way you have them in like the parks because there's so many more. Although like most people are like adhering to the rules and stuff. It's just like you can't regulate it the same way as a park. So I think like I wasn't going on like Friday night, Saturday night wasn't like typically something that I was like dying to do, but like going on like a weekday afternoon or something was okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, all right. We've talked about the parks. We've talked about getting there. We've talked about Disney Springs, everything. The whole kit and caboodle when it comes to an experience at Disney during this pandemic. So when you add it all up, you gave it a big old 7 out of 10, B minus, maybe just a regular B or B minus. And now we're going to answer the question. If I am going to take a trip to Disney, I'm going to fire this money bullet one time this year. Is it worth it to go down to Disney during the pandemic protocol? Is it worth it?
Okay. I still think it's worth it. If, of course, that's me saying, like, if you feel like safe and you want to do it. And like, cause I don't know. I feel like I always have to preface it with that. Cause it's like, it's everything right now is like, yeah. I'm not suggesting somebody should travel. I'm saying like, if this is something you feel like you should be doing that, like, I thought that it was like worth it for me, like in everything that I was doing. I think like Disney could take away all their shows. They could literally close down half their rides, but walking down Main Street and getting like the scents piped in and like the music playing, that's like, to me, one of the most magical things about like going to Disney or going to any theme park, and like just the natural like music soundscapes and just like being there. You can't take that away. I don't think like you can't take that feeling away. So if you love it, I think it's worth it. Prefacing, if you've never been in your life before, I'd maybe like give it a few months. But like,
I'll make the argument that maybe you should go now so that you can experience it. If this is your first time, you're still going to think it's magical.
True.
And when it opens for real, then you get double magical.
Yeah, it's like double vacation excitement. Yeah. Like you're like, oh no, I didn't know it could be even better. Yeah.
That's why I always most movies are not as good as the book. So I will always watch the movie first. Because smart. If I like the movie, then the book is going to be even better. Because if you read like the Harry Potter books and then watch the movies, it's like, that's maybe not a great example because those movies are so good, but they're not as good as the books.
Oh, not even close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The like books, so, the books are the best.
But if you do it the way I did it and watch the movies first and then read the books, oh man, those movies are wicked. And then the books, wicked. Everything's the best.
And you know, there's also something to be said about just saying, I went there when. Remember that pandemic that happened a decade ago?
Yeah, it's a totally different experience. Yeah. And like, and also it's at 35% capacity, which will likely never, ever happen again. Yeah, like, unless we do this again, which I hope we don't. I don't think that they'll ever have to like cap their capacity and they'll ever be like operating with like such little crowds. Like the fact that I could stand like in the afternoons, you could get a picture in front of Cinderella's castle with literally nobody around you is like something that doesn't happen. And like, I did that almost every time I went to Magic Kingdom. Wow. And it's like, I was always able to get those like perfect clean photos, not like every single time, but if like I timed it right, I was able to, which like, you're never able to do that unless you maybe like run in when the park opens and you like dart there. But I was doing this at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it was possible. So like that stuff, like the lower crowds, I really enjoy. I mean, it's Florida and it's hot and it's sweaty and like just I'm not about people like rubbing that sweat on me, which before the pandemic would happen.
What are you doing?
Unlike Chris, who likes to go to these shows and Beauty and the Beast dancers rub their sweat all over him.
It's really warm up
there. It's not my cup of tea, but I'm not. I mean, if it's yours, hey.
Apparently it is.
It's part of the experience of Beauty and the Beast.
It's an interactive show now. We just didn't know it.
Yeah, there's a splatter zone. It's awesome. Well, Alessa, this was really great. Thank you for informing our audience. And I'm not talking about the audience that might be like just a stone's throw away from Disney World or, you know, it's not too far of a drive. But if you're making that like pilgrimage to pay homage to the mouse, now you know what you're getting. This is what you're getting involved in. You're still going to have a great experience. Is it going to be the 10 that you know? Probably not. But you're going to get a quality 7, a B. And that's B's are good. I had B's in school. Look at me. I'm awesome.
I was lucky to be, let me tell you. When I got a B, it was a celebration.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, congrats, man. That's great.
Why are you making fun of me?
I don't know. I'm celebrating your B. I celebrated my B hard. I was like.
All right. Enough of this. Leave me alone.
Hey, you went to an art school, man. It's not about what's on the paper. It's what you did on the stage, right? Yeah,
that's what I say.
Well, this was great. Alessa, thank you so much for coming by today and filling us in, letting us know it is worth it to go, but it's not exactly the Disney you know. Be ready for it. Before we wrap things up, tell us where we can find you and what you got going on, Alessa. What's happening in the That Disney Girl world?
Yeah. I mean, on Instagram, _ That Diz Girl. On YouTube, That Disney Girl. I need to be a bit better with my YouTube as of lately, but there's just been a lot of stuff going on, and like, I mean, I'm going to get better with it now and get more active once again. Those are where you could find me.
Are we still doing some fitness videos, the HIIT videos?
Yeah, well, actually, I don't know if you saw, but I filmed a squat routine in Magic Kingdom.
Oh, I got to check this out.
In front of the castle, masked up with a sports bra and shorts on. I really went for it. I have some interesting looks to me by like families with their strollers coming behind me, but I did that.
That's hilarious. Yeah, get out of my shot, Mom. I'm trying to do a squat here, please. A Disney squat.
Some of that stuff, and I'm doing some more like history and theory type videos and all of that fun jazz. But yeah, I'm just doing that. I'll be back in Orlando for quite some time soon. So. Probably some more like Orlando-based content.
Amazing.
That sort of stuff, yeah.
Well, friends, definitely check out at That Diz Girl on Instagram. Or you can find her on YouTube, and you can find her at Inside the Magic. Some great articles and content.
Yeah, right there too.
You're everywhere. So check out Alessa. She's killing it. And if you trust me, these workout videos, I tried it for about a three spot, and then I passed out. So. You're probably fit and you can do these things. Check her out. Check out these amazing videos. And they really run the gamut from workout videos to like talking about sea, air, food, it's everything. It's on there. Do check out at That Diz Girl.
I love the cell.
It's good, right?
Plug. So good.
Yeah. Hey, Merry Christmas, you know? All right, friends. Well, hey, thanks so much for tuning in today. If you want to reach out and say, hey, hit us up. What's up at WeLikeThemeParks.com? We want to hear what you got to say. You can always find us on our website, www.WeLikeThemeParks.com. Oh, I did the www. That means I'm old, right? That's what.
No, I feel like it's okay. Miriam's like, yep, you're old.
Mean millennials. That's what I'm getting right now. These mean millennials. What else am I talking about? Oh, yeah. You can find us on Instagram at We Like Theme Parks. The music for the We Like Theme Parks podcast was composed and provided by Mike Treblecock. You can check him out at MikeTreblecockMusic.com. A huge thank you to Alessa. Alessa, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I love talking to Disney people because my roommate he watches Disney vlogs and he's like, this is weird. So I'm like, I'm not going to tell you about my double life.
You know what? Your roommate's weird.
He's weird. Stop being so weird. Roommate.
I know. I'm like, come on. This is normal.
I love it. All right. Well, for Alessa and Miriam and Mark, I'm Chris. That's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And all together now,
we like theme parks.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Alessa, you didn't even do it, Alessa. You just did the
You know what? I didn't know if I was supposed to join in.
What part of all together now is like all together but Alessa? No, come on. All right, friends, see you next week. Bye.
We like theme parks. We Like Theme Parks Podcast.